Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Little under the weather, but that's always a wonderful challenge and an experience on a Sunday morning. Well, how you doing? I asked that, but really, are you doing all right? Yeah. I saw some of you really worshiping, and that's a good sign. You know, the early church, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was an explosion of converts. The Holy Spirit was given, and then Peter preached, Stephen preached, and there was just an explosion. And there was something that happened, and a question that I'm sure that people begin to ask, hey, what's going on? What happened to you guys? Peter, you were a fisherman. What's going on here? And I can imagine, as I think of, because, you know, after Jesus was resurrected, there were over 500 people that saw him. This wasn't just someone making up a story. This was a reality. Over 500 people saw him. And it's documented, and here is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that it caused such a stir because there was an incredible outpour of joy. Now, can you imagine? Remember the guy that Jesus healed his blind eyes, and he began to see. Can you imagine? Maybe he was around when he was put to death. And maybe he was one of the 500 that saw him. Can you imagine what that did for him? That he saw Jesus. And you're, let me tell you something. In a situation like that, you're not going to contain yourself. You're going to want to tell somebody. And I'm sure that he went around telling, hey, I'm that guy that was blind. And Jesus made me see, and I saw him after he was resurrected. I mean, an amazing, amazing thing that began to flow throughout. And can you imagine? A bunch of depressed disciples. And then they saw Jesus. Now, it was such a miracle that even when they saw him, it was hard for them to believe. Let me see your side. Let me see your hand. Are you sure? Are you sure this is really you? Are you a spirit? No, flesh and blood. They saw him and there was such a stir. Oh, they were so excited. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the excitement? Well, I can if you can. I can see that maybe you can't imagine that. We're in the book of John, and because of the death and resurrection of Lonnie, I thought I would talk about John 11. You know, this is one of those things that you have to face in life, death. It's one of those things that eats away at us, that we don't like it. And there's some, I mean, people approach death in different ways. Some just live in denial. They don't want to face it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it until finally it happens to a loved one, and then they have to deal with it, and usually they're messed up. I got to tell you, just a side note, I was so proud of all the Kilgores in that hospital room as they saw him pass away. Dignity and grace, and Lonnie had it too, but dignity and grace in a very difficult thing. I mean, Lonnie, our friend, we're not going to see him anymore. That's facing reality. Lonnie Kilgore. Look at that one there. You know that guy. You know, he told me. I said, you see all the time, look at that one there. He said, yeah, Pastor Dave, you know what I mean by that? He said, I'll look at, they'll hold up a thing, and I don't know what it is, so I'll say, look at that one there. Who will give me? He didn't know what it was. He did it all the time. And so when people face death, sometimes it's very difficult, and they live in denial. They don't want to face it. And then there are those, how would you put it? They try to make it a sentimental thing. Oh, death is our friend. And they gather around and, oh, this is so sweet. Now, that's just stupid. Death is not sweet. In fact, I'm saying that because there's biblical words for that. I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, the last enemy is death. It's your enemy. It's your enemy. And it happens to all of us, and we have to face it. But Jesus is alive. Okay, I want to, in your notes, I have, you don't have it. That's right. You have, I put in there a John Piper thing on death. So read that when you go home. Don't read it when I preach. Why'd you laugh at that? Because some of you are reading it. Okay, I understand. In John 11 and verse 17, and when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, let me just set this up, because in the verses before, they tell him that he's sick. And Jesus was only 2 miles away. That's it. And he didn't come. In fact, he went out of his way not to come. And several days later, he shows up. Like 4 days. Now he tells the disciples that, well, he's fallen asleep. And the disciples say, oh, well, good, he'll wake up. And Jesus had to explain to him, no, I mean that he's dead. And then he comes. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. That's never good enough for us. It's never good enough for us when someone says, we'll see him on the other side. And this is kind of what, excuse me, I'm trying to get rid of this thing I'm talking on. Jesus tells him, hey, he will rise again. Well, she's thinking, well, yeah, I believe in the resurrection, and one day I'm going to see him. But see, that's not good enough for her. And it's really not good enough for any of us. You know, I think of Myrna. Mary, what is it, 65 years? 62 and a half. You probably got it to the day. Yeah, what do you do? 62 and a half years. You don't rejoice. Oh, boy, I'm going to see him one day. I mean, you try to, and you try to look at the bright side of things, but there's still the pit and the rock in your heart for a loved one that's passed. And so this is what Martha is dealing with, her brother, who Jesus loved, and she knew that. If you had just come, if you had just been here, it would be okay. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her in these profound words, I am the resurrection and the life. Not, I will raise him up in the last days, but I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And she didn't know what all that meant. And Mary, her sister, who had anointed the feet of Jesus, who had an inkling something of what was going to take place, she was the one that listened to Jesus. When Martha was busy working, she listened to Jesus. And you know, we get too busy sometimes. We need to just relax and listen to Jesus, what he has to say. Because he said it over and over again about the death, burial, and resurrection. She had heard it and she knew there was something there. And she anointed him. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, she still didn't understand fully what it was all about, that he was the resurrection and the life. There's something about a relationship with Jesus Christ that brings a confidence of our future because he's the resurrection and the life. There's something about as we follow him and we're in him and through him, there's something about that confidence and that hope of a resurrection life. Now, Jesus was letting Martha know, now, wait a minute. I am the resurrection and the life. And then he goes, and something very interesting takes place. And I'm not going to go into it. Maybe at some other point I will, which I've done in the past. But Jesus, as he approaches the tomb, and the tomb is open, two things happen. He cries, and he gets angry. And the word that is used about his getting angry is so different that when they translate it, they say things like, well, he was moved. But the word has to do with the hot anger. Why was he so mad? He knew what he was going to do. You know, you would think as he approached, opened the door, okay, all right, you guys, watch what's going to happen here. Lazarus, come forth. Why was he so moved, emotional? And people looked around, they said, oh, he must have loved him. Look at him. And then they even questioned, wait a minute. He healed others. Why didn't he heal Lazarus? But Jesus, who let this thing establish and his death in 4 days, wanted to show something of who he was and a great sign of who he was. And when you read John, you see again and again a sign, not just some miracle that is taking place, but a sign. We studied that last week when he turned the water into wine. And it wasn't just a miracle. He wasn't just, oh, here I am. I guess I ought to do something good. No, it was a setup, because the pots that they brought for the wine were the pots that was used for purification of the people. Before they ate, before they go in the temple, they would take the water, and they didn't take soap or anything, they just let it run over their hands as ceremony that they were pure before God. And an incredible sign of who Jesus was, that he would be the one who would die for our sins. And his blood would wash and cleanse us, and we would be purified throughout. Spirit, soul, and body. And here he's showing something now of his resurrection power. Not just his resurrection, as he called Lazarus forth, let me tell you, he looks into history. This, I don't know how else to explain it. As he looks at the tomb and looks at the death, he looks into to history. Not in the past, but also in the future. Into a room a few nights ago. 6013. Was that the name of the room? A guy dying, his name was Lonnie. And a family grieving and hurting. He looked into that, multiplied millions and billions of times of people who hurt. And he's angry of what death will do. And of course, the wages of sin is death. But he was going to take care of that because he was going to die. And that's why Paul could look squarely, as he knew he was going to die, he could look squarely in the face of death and say, death, where's your sting? Come on, bring it on. I'm not so arrogant as he might have been, but he had great faith. Bring it on. So be it. Death, you're going to kill me? Go ahead, but where's the sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Because one day I'm going to rise up. I'm going to be with the Lord. And it's not going to be just a moment. It's going to be immediately. I'm going to be with Jesus Christ for eternity. He had an understanding about this death and burial and resurrection, that not only did Jesus was resurrected out of death unto life, but we are as well. Because listen to what it says there. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? And she said, I believe it. You see, his resurrection has to do with us as well. We believe in him. We receive him. And now death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Because there's something else on the other side. There's something over there. I always consider it an honor and a privilege, even though death is so painful, to be there with a believer as they pass from this life to a new life. Jesus, when he was resurrected, he had a new body. And he could, it was like, as you read the scripture at the end, it was like he passed through walls. It's like he could be here and then over there real quick, it would happen. I mean, an amazing thing, because he had a different kind of body than we know. And one day, Lonnie will have that kind of body. I don't believe he has it now. I think what the Bible says is he'll return with Jesus, and his body and his spirit will be reunited, and he'll have this body. And you think you saw some dancing then on that screen? Do you know there's no Cains in heaven? Oh, man. I'm sure he's up there in the spirit. Excuse me. Just enjoying the heavenly hosts, worshiping God and praising him. Now, I'm not just saying that to encourage a family, but that's true. And may your faith somehow be lifted up. Your heart will hurt, but your faith will lift up that hope. That one day, not only will we be with Jesus for eternity, but with Lonnie, without a cane. I don't know what he's going to look like. Probably pretty young and spry. Probably, you know, when he used to chase Myrna around. Kind of thing. Or maybe you chase him. I don't know. Well, that kind of threw me off, but. A scripture that is very striking is found in Job, and I wanted to read it this morning. In Job 19, Job had gone through all the evil stuff that he went through, suffering. And he said these words, "For I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives." And then it goes on and he says, "And at the last, he will stand upon the earth." I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he'll stand upon the earth. "And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I'll see God." Now, you read that, what does that mean? Well, I think if you read other scriptures, it kind of goes in together. My Redeemer, he's talking about Jesus and the Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. And at last, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, I knew Lonnie almost 40 years ago. And he was pretty spry and ornery. He had a side to him, although very sweet, loved to tell stories. And we've heard some of the same stories over and over. And they bless us. But his body decayed. And you that have known him for so long, you saw that body decaying, as Job said, "My skin destroyed." You saw that body decay and become weak. And he was a fighter. I mean, man, the guy should have been using a walker or something, but he didn't. And so as his body decayed, he would fall again and again, and it always broke a heart to see that Marine, who was proud to be a Marine, at the end not able to get up on his feet, his body decaying. But one day, when Jesus returns and Jesus stands, and the Spirit is again united with the body, but a new body, body for eternity, a body that can lift hands, can walk through walls, so to speak, can be at one place and another place instantly, and a body that will never decay. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day. I think the best way in facing death, I think the best way in dealing with death is facing it head on. Because it's going to happen to us all. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? When Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," do you feel that in your soul? Do you feel raised with him? Because, see, that's what's happened. You know, once from time to time we have baptism because we follow, the Lord told us to do that, get saved and be baptized. And so we, in this little pool here, we put water in there and we baptize people. And it's just showing something that has happened on the inside of the person. As we say, "Are you committed to the Lord?" "Yeah, I'm going to follow him." And then we take him under. And then we pull him up. And what's that showing? Dead in Christ, resurrected in him. Let me read this scripture in Romans as I come to an end. And it's going to be shorter than normal, but I'll make up for it later. Oh, Romans 4:24. "But for ours also," now listen to what he says, "ours also, it'll be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespass and raised for our justification. It will be counted to us. We who believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrection, Jesus becoming sin for us, he never sinned, but he became sin. And I think we need to understand that even more and more. And what that meant, and what sin caused in the world, and the destruction for mankind, and the hatred towards sin that God has, because how it destroyed mankind. And Jesus died and took the sin, and the Father couldn't look, and he turned his back upon the Son. First time in eternity, when the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit had perfect love, perfect unity, perfect joy, eternal joy, eternal beauty, eternal unity, was broken for the first time. And why was that broken for the first time? Why did that happen for the first time? So that you and I could enter that perfect circle with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on the resurrection day. And there's Lonnie. There's Lonnie. I'm one of those who don't believe he knows what's going on here, or he wouldn't have a whole lot of joy. But he's totally in joy with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Worship team, come on up. Jason, do you have a song? I was thinking Amazing Grace, but...
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Were you really? Are you lying?
No.
Oh, well. Oh, I love you, Jay. Even if you do lie, but anyway. No, I'm kidding. He wouldn't lie. Oh, did you send it back to him? Oh, my. Forgive me. Well, we grieve, but for a little while. We face it head on. Because we have a hope of our resurrection, because he's alive. And let me tell you, it's not by any effort of yours, but only the destruction of the very Son of God who died for us and is alive today. That's our hope. That's what turned the early church upside down. That's what changed everything in history. That's why we're here today, because he's... I want to tell a little story about Lonnie when he was dying. And it's one of those things, you know, that people tell, loved ones tell stories about their loved ones that are spiritual, and, you know, you always kind of wonder. Well, Stephen, I think it was Stephen that told me this, but he was dying, and... At some point, he woke up, and then he kind of, I don't know if he leaned forward. You'll have to tell me again. He kind of leaned forward, and then he did this. And Stephen said, that's how he would wink at his daughter Cindy, who had already gone to heaven. I wonder if she greeted him. I don't know. Father, I don't know a lot of things, but I know this, that you're alive. That you gave your Son because you loved us so much to die for us. so that we could live in you for eternity. And Lord, may every person here have that hope. And Father, I pray if they don't, that they might turn to you and cry out to you. That they might face the reality that they're wicked sinners, as we all are. And they might repent and call upon you to save them. Oh, do that in their lives. Father, thank you for your love to us because of that. And we see your love and your great love toward us. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for life eternal.